Blog Talk Radio. Tuned into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad therein. I hear the Bible say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Yes, you. We come to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give him praise and glory. And I'm so excited that you joined me on today. We're here gathered together for another glorious time in the Lord. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you, yes, you are going to be blessed today and empowered by the word of the Lord, because truly God is calling us to live victoriously through his word, and which is able to empower us through biblical lessons and principles. And today we're going to explore the theological implication and contextualize the relevancy for today's living through the word of the Lord on today. On today, I'm going to be talking to your heart in regards and in relation to the foundation of faith. And we're going to look at Romans chapter number 10, verses number 8 to verse number 21. So grab your Bibles. We're going to stay right into the word of the Lord on today. And we're going to look also at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And we're talking about faith. I believe the Lord wants us to recognize that we live by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by their faith. And as never before, we as children of God are called and demand is to live by our faith, to see it by faith, with what God is wanting to do in and through the lives of his people. And so as we get your Bible and we get ready to go into our lesson, I want us to pray, and then we're going to go right into the reading of the scripture. Father, we take this time to bind the devil, we bind the forces of darkness, and we call your sovereign and your holy will in done in and through our lives. We ask you, God, that you bless this session, and we ask that you move by your power divine, and we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's look at Romans chapter number 10, verses 8 to 21. And there is a radio that I can hear, or a television in the background that I can hear. The sounds are coming through our cast. If you could, I can encourage you to cut your radio down and things so it won't transmit through and things. I want to say thank you very much. Let's look at the scripture on today. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 21. But what saith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in their heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But there is no difference between the Jews and the Greeks. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto all the end of the world. But I say, did not Isaiah know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is also very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifested unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. So far the reading of that portion of our scripture. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, as we stated earlier, faith is the foundation of the child of God experience. By it, we are able to accept righteousness and even salvation through our faith. Now, let's take a look here at our lesson on today. Unlike Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which appeared to be an answered question posed to Paul, the book of Romans is a treaty proclaiming that faith is the foundation on which a relationship with God rests. Paul declares that once the debt of sin has been satisfied by the death of the perfect sacrifice, it was futile to attempt to access righteousness by continuing to practice which was symbolic. This became a stumbling block for the Jews who believed that they must continue their tradition in attempting to gain and attain righteousness. Now, Paul went on in his letter to the Romans, Paul set out to demonstrate that faith and not works is the foundation upon which salvation rests. A person that can accept God's forgiveness of sin and righteousness by faith rather than by circumcision, animal sacrifice, and the burning of incense and of confession to the priest. Mankind do not have to travel great distance to acquire salvation and forgiveness of sin. It is as close as the faith in their heart. As many people have stumbled over Paul's word in Romans 10, verses 6 through 10, some have chosen to even discard anything else in the New Testament and focus only on these few verses. Paul never intended to supplant the necessity of a new birth. A person can understand this by reading the entire book of Romans. In the sixth chapter, Paul reminded his readers that they all have been baptized into Jesus Christ, Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. He also declared that it is essential to have within us the spirit that raised Christ from the dead. For without that spirit, one does not belong to Jesus Christ, Romans 8 and 9. And it's key and vital that you have the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance, coming from the book Acts 2:38 and things Acts 2 and 4. It is key for us as children of God to have it. Because if you don't, then you do not belong to Jesus Christ. Now, clearly, the phrase confess with your mouth and believe in your heart are global and general statements concerning salvation and not specific. Conclusive instruction as to how one obeyed the word of Jesus or receiving redemption. Various New Testament writers used the same kind of statement in the numbers of other instances. For example, Jesus stated, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved, Matthew 10, verses 22. However, for one simply to endure to the end is insignificant if he have not received salvation. Now, when the pagan Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas what he must do to be saved, they gave him a global answer: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Acts 16:31. However, after he believed, now catch this here, after the jailer, the Philippian jailer believed, Paul and Silas began to say, and they spake to them the word of the Lord and to all that was in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night and washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his, straightway. And they was all baptized in the name of Jesus. And you'll look at that over in Mark chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. If baptism was not essential to salvation, it is doubtful the apostle would have baptized them given the late hour of the night. Now, when the people of whom Peter preached on the day of Pentecost felt conviction of sin, they asked what they must do to remedy the situation. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. Now, faith moves the believer from the generality of the generalization of just believing on Jesus Christ to the specific plan of salvation. So here it is. Now let's take a look at the steps. The first one must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of times many people say, well, I believe on God. I believe in God. But first, we must believe on the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifested in the flesh. Oh, my, my, my. It's key. And then they must go on and then believe on the specific plan for salvation. Now, someone that will truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will obey the gospel and receive the forgiveness of Christ and his righteousness and proceed on to live a victorious Christian life. So key to believe, then next you have to receive the instruction to the plan of salvation, being baptized in Jesus' name, filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord giving utterance, and not only there, but going on living a fruitful life and your life, your fruit remaining and you being fruitful, living holy and righteous in the things of God and the things that pertaining unto God. Now, let's look further. Again, we're talking about our lesson is focusing on the foundation of faith. We're looking at the foundation. Now, let's look at one point here, the pursuit of righteousness. Righteousness is a term that many people do not clearly understand. Now, in the Living by Faith, a verse-by-verse study of Romans, Daniel C. Gray defined it as right standing with God. Righteousness describes a condition or a position that sinful mankind has attempted to attain since his fall from innocence. Now, let's look here. This must be attained by faith. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness is of faith. Romans 9:30. It presents a curse of the crux of Paul's argument for attaining the righteousness of God. Faith is an exercise whereby one accepts righteousness. Faith is the foundation upon which salvation is assured, the foundation upon which sin are remitted. Never having the influence of the oracles of God, the Gentiles were suddenly swept into God's kingdom without following the rituals of the Mosaic law. However, they were not swept into the kingdom of God by the shadow or empty faith expressed by people of today. A person's salvation does not come about simply by making a statement of belief in the historical of Jesus. Rather, he receives salvation by genuine faith, here it is, in Christ's redemptive work, which he expressed by obeying the scripture. So we as children of God, now we're talking foundation. We're talking about the foundation of faith. We must have faith in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can say we believe, but we also have to have faith not only in the name, but in entirety of the entire work of our Lord and Savior Jesus, what he has done on the cross of Calvary, the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we must put our faith and confidence in that redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Now let's move further. Paul's statement did not exclude a conversion experience for the Gentiles, a time in their life when they begin to follow after righteousness. Paul clearly stated that this in his first letter to the Corinthians, and such were you, some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's over in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. Right standing with God is a result of faith in the operation of God or the power of God, Colossians 2 and 12. This is faith that God will do exactly as he promised. It is putting faith in the operation of God, whether one is anticipating a remission of sin through water baptism in the name of Jesus or healing by calling on the elders of the church and being anointed with oil, James 5 and 14, or receiving a blessing beyond measure through tithing, Malachi 3:10. It's our faith. Faith positions the believer to receive the promises of God. Oh, my. It puts us in a position to receive the promises of God. Now, let's look further. Not attained by the work of the law. In the Exposition Bible, the Epistle of Romans, H.C.G. Mule notes and makes the following comparison. The Israelites aspired to acceptance. God bade them to submit to it. In their view, it was a matter of attainment and an ascent to a different height, where the climber might exalt into in his success. Now, as Paul presented it, it was a matter of surrender as we are patient, given over, placing ourselves helplessly in the master's hand for a recovery which is to be due to those hands alone and to celebrate only those to our praise, to their praise. And in essence, what it's saying is that Paul was saying is not by the works of the law, but it's about you surrendering your life over into the hands of the Lord. Now, I tell you, when I first got saved, the saints, they would say, just surrender unto God. And the whole scope of that and the implication of that and how we can contextualize that to our lives today, it means that we consciously, by faith, just saying, God, I surrender my whole life and being over into your hand and surrendering our lives into the hand of our living God. And that's what God wants us to do, is surrender our life over into the hand of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, God gave mankind 4,000 years to prove that a person could not achieve righteousness through their own works. When Moses gave his last sermon to the people of Israel before entering the promised land, he encouraged them to obey all the law and commands of the Lord. There was one very important reason for their obedience. Their righteousness was contingent upon it. And you can look over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6 and verse 25. It was an expectation sinful human nature could not fulfill, so Israel lived in a perpetual cycle of sin and sacrifice. You'll see that over in James 2 and 10. Now, the apparent futility called Paul to pose the following question. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law. For I have not known lust, except the law have said, thou shalt not covet. Romans 7 and 7. The problem was not with the law of Moses, but with mankind. The law was necessary to define the will of God, to define right and wrong, but it did not have the power to deliver mankind from their sinful state. The writer of the book of Hebrews offered the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw nigh to God. And you find that over in Hebrews 7 and verses number 18 and 19. No matter how diligent the Israelites sought the law of righteousness, they continually fell short. Now let's look further. Faith in Jesus Christ, a stumbling stone. The attainment of righteousness became a stumbling stone to the Israelites because they refused to believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 9, 33 and 32 and 33. To the Jews, there was no better description of Jesus than to refer to him as a stumbling stone. The very Messiah that Israel had longed for had arrived at their feet. And instead of allowing him to become a light unto their path, they stumbled over him in their blind condition. They could not grasp the concept of putting faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, Jesus did everything imaginable to demonstrate he was the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the Creator and the Redeemer. Now, when John the Baptist heard of the work of Jesus, he sent for a word of assurance that Jesus really was the Christ. Matthew 11, verses 3 through 6. With all this evidence before them, the Jews still stumbled over him. Jesus performed miracles, signs, and wonders that unbelievers could not explain away. Yet they chose not to believe. They stumbled around as blind people trying desperately to deny or explain away the power of God. When all else failed, they accused him of being of the devil. See in Matthew 12 and 24. And I just want for us to look at another point. We must recognize, children of God, that our choice is a gift from God. And given a gift unto us, the ability to choose, the ability to make decisions is a gift that God has given unto us. Now, even with this gift of choice, God is not going to violate our will. He's not going to violate our desire. But he said, whosoever will, let them come. We must will to do the will of God. I'll say that again because it's key for us as children of God. We must will to do the will of God. And when we begin to will our will to do the will of God, then we'll see in turn by faith God unfolding his promises and his will unto us as people of God. But we must first will our hearts and will our mind and soul over into the hand of the Lord. That's when Paul was talking about, when we were talking earlier about surrendering. We must give over. We must cease from striving to do it our way and begin to seek out of the heart and mind of God, Lord, what is your divine will? What is your way for our lives? And once we begin to render over and give over and yield to God and surrender to God. It's a choice thing. And many people think in their mind, well, why am I not blessed by, like Sally is being blessed, or by the other person is being blessed? Well, because that other person, peradventure, probably has willed their will and made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, and they have been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, baptized in the name of Jesus, and living a yielded life to the Spirit of God. Oh, my, see it, child of God. I pray your eyes will be enlightened and your understanding will be enlightened and open, that you can hear and receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto your church, so that you can know what you need to do to move into the will and the way of the Lord. Now, further, Paul explained this blindness, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 and 14. So now, isn't it ironic that the veil that was done away in Christ is a veil that is over the minds and the eyes of individuals who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah? Oh, my. Thank God for having a mind to want them to seek him, to desire. Because he said, if you seek me with your whole heart, mind, and soul, I will be found of you. Oh, my. And things. And so faith in Jesus Christ removed the veil of blindness. Instead of being a stumbling stone, Jesus became a stepping stone into the kingdom of God. Oh, I hope you catch that, child of God. Sadly, many children of God today are spiritually blinded after Jews of whom Paul spoke. The teaching of evolution has undermined their faith in living miraculous powers of working of God. People attend church on a regular basis, having a form of godliness, but denying God's power, that he still heals, he still performs miracles, and he still fills people with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll see that over in 2 Timothy 3 and 4. We are to turn away from such unbelief because it undermines the very foundation of a genuine relationship with a living God and with our living God. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 11, verses 21 and 22. It said, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon for on the day of judgment than for you. Now let's look further at the word, the way to salvation. Now, throughout his life, Paul had passion for his people, the Jews, to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. He wanted to see them turn to Jesus and be saved, Romans 10 and 1. Paul knew that the way to salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ, for the blood of bulls and goats could no longer put a person in right standing with God. The Jews were religious, but they were ignorant of God's plan, Romans 10 and 2. They were good people, but they were stuck in traditions of their forefathers. They had not comprehended that faith in the works of Jesus Christ replaced their works of continual animal sacrifices. And as with many people today, the Jews could not imagine that God had already provided for their righteousness. However, sadly, many today participate in rituals that will leave them unchanged. Like Cornelius, they are devout. They pray to God regularly. They may be generous, but like Cornelius, they are not saved, Acts 11 and 14. The 21st century church should possess the same passion that consumed Paul, a passion for lost souls to receive a life-changing new birth experience with Jesus Christ. Now, let's look further. Christ the law, the end of the law. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, Romans 10 and 4. Earlier in his letter to the Romans, Paul explained that the commandment should have been brought life, but because of the weakness of sinful flesh, it brought death, see Romans 7 and 10. In other words, if every person lived by the commandment, they would have life. However, mankind was unable to keep the commandments of God. Therefore, the commandment brought condemnation. How did Christ become the end of the law? Well, Paul declared, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 8, verses 3 through 4. The Greek word translated as in Romans 10 and 4 comes from the same Greek root word that in other forms, in other verses, is translated as perfect, complete, or finished. For an example, in his great intercessory prayer, Jesus stated, I have finished the work which thou gave me to do, John 17 and 4. When he had met the demands of the law on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. It is finished. The price of condemnation has been paid and the requirement has been fulfilled. There is nothing else upon which we may rely on for salvation. Only the work of Jesus Christ and the cross. Our only option for redemption is by faith to embrace the cross and obey the gospel. Obedience to the gospel will initiate us in us a new birth through which we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, free from the old law of sin and death. And you'll see that over Romans 8:1, and that's through the baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look at another portion again. We're talking basically today about the foundation of faith. And I want you to hold that piece in your mind as we're looking at this. Now, faith in Christ. Some of Paul's words in the book of Romans may be the most abused and misunderstood of all. Romans 10, verses 5 through 10. Some individuals might tend to skip over these verses because they do not fully understand them. However, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and we are not to avoid scriptures or explain them away. Rather, we should study them to understand them, and in studying them by going back and asking God to give us understanding so that we can understand what he's speaking unto his people. And when we begin to seek out understanding from God, God will grant revelation. God will grant understanding because you're. Now, Paul declared that we attain the righteousness of God by faith. These verses is no way indicated that we do not need to be born again. However, repentance of sin, baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin and receiving of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, are not mystical actions. They bring about the new birth, here you go, the new birth experience and the forgiveness of sin because they express a person's obedience, faith in Christ's work, not the result of one's own effort, but the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. Now, Jesus Christ has been sacrificed for all, and for the Jews and for the Gentiles alike. His atoning work alone is sufficient to bring about the new birth in us by faith. We must believe on the works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as well as the plan of salvation. Come on and just shout hallelujah. Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. It's right. And it is right. We must believe on him. Now, let's look at faith in another context. Faith is the common denominator. Faith is the common denominator for all people who desire the blessings of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Romans 11 and 6. But faith in Jesus Christ provides access to the greatest blessing of all, salvation from sin. The birth, life, and the atoning death of Jesus Christ proclaimed destroys the barriers that once separated Jews and Gentiles and discouraged Gentiles from even attempting to approach God. And you can look over in Romans, Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16. It is no longer heritage or ancestry that open the doors to salvation. No longer do animal sacrifice and the keeping of the Sabbath satisfy the demand of the law. Faith has become the common denominator for all mankind. Jesus Christ is the central focus of that faith. I want to say it again because it's vital for us to grasp of a hold to that and understand that and receive it, that the central focus of our faith is must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter ushered in this New Testament principle when he preached his first sermon. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts verses 21. That which was a stumbling block to some became a stepping stone to eternal life for others. Oh, I am so glad that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, let's look a little further here. The word of Christ and faith. There is a direct connection between the word of God and faith. Hearing the gospel results in the development and nurturing of faith. However, the outcome is limited by the will of individuals, Romans 10 and 21. Knowledge alone is not faith. Actions always accompanies it. One displays faith when they act in obedience to the word of God. The scripture declares, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 and 16. We should carefully note that the action of baptism is connected with believing. James stated, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James 2 and 18. So James was saying that I will show you how I believe God through the works that I have done and have put my trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and obeyed him. And it's key for us as children of God is to not just to go to church and hear the word and walk right out. But we must hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our church and not only hear it, but act on it by faith. If God is calling us to repent, then guess what? We must repent. If God is saying to give our life over to him and walk upright and live a holy and righteous life, be holy even as I am holy, then that's what God is requiring of us. As children of God, it's not your works, but it's your obedience to what God has given us to do in his word. And then, yes, we do work in the kingdom of God, but most of all, God is concerned, are we obeying his work and his will, his word and his will for the lives of his people? We must obey him. Now, let's look at another essentiality of the gospel. This coming from Romans 10 and 17, as read out of the New NIV, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And so it is through the word of Christ that we hear the word of the Lord. and things, when you go to church, when you listen to the word of the Lord and things, it's coming by faith. You hearing it. It's coming through the word of God, of what God is requiring and calling us to do. Faith is perpetual story related to the gospel message. When the gospel good news comes, faith arises and conversion occurs. All cultures and religious systems have teaching concerning how to treat others. But without the opportunity to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ, people remain in a sinful state, separated from God. Every soul on earth should have the opportunity to hear the gospel message, and that is the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's key that every creature, every human being, must hear the gospel. I believe that's why God has blessed the inventor to even to invent the radio, internet radio, that it may go around the world, that every creature, every individual will have an opportunity to hear the word of the Lord, the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's up to us by faith to put our faith in that work. Now, let's look at another part, the essentiality of the preacher. And many times the preacher comes up against great opposition, but they must recognize that preacher have a charge on their life and a mandate upon their life. Because faith is the result of hearing the gospel, it is essential that someone carry this message to the unsaved, Romans 10:14. Since God knows the potential in the heart of every individual, he should scan the earth and take to heaven those whom he chooses. However, he created mankind and gave them a free will, and he offered the plan of salvation to meet mankind's need for redemption. And again, there it is, that free will that we talked about earlier. God would not violate your free will, and he wants us to render our will over to him. God chose to involve mankind in the plan of salvation. Not only does God ask that we choose to serve him, but he also asks that we would take the message of salvation to others. This is evidence that the conversion of Cornelius, and you'll see it in Acts chapter 10, an angel could just as well have delivered the new birth message to Cornelius. Although an angel did visit Cornelius, he was not charged to deliver the salvation plan. Instead, the angel directed Cornelius to another human being who will relate God's plan. Acts 11:13-14. Had Peter not laid down his net and responded to Jesus as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, or had he resisted God's call to take the gospel to the unclean Gentiles, Cornelius and his household may have died lost. How many people like Cornelius will die unsaved because someone refused to respond to the call of God to preach the gospel? However, many will die lost because a preacher never came to them with the gospel. The church stands commissioned and responsible to the greater number of the lost souls today than at any time in the history of mankind. The world gospel preachers that are going to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at one final point of things that is essential, and that is obedience. Israel failed to obtain the righteousness of God was not a matter of not hearing or not knowing the gospel. It was a matter of willingly rejecting the plan of God to accept righteousness and ultimately salvation through faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. And we're living in a day and time that people are rejecting the gospel and rejecting the plan that God has for us as children of God to to come in to salvation and his righteousness. It's only in faith in Jesus Christ will save us. But only those who demonstrate their faith by obeying the word of God have genuine faith. Obeying God's plan of salvation, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, is essential in our only hope of redemption. We must, children of God, obey the plan of salvation. Now, this is what God has told me. He said, Helen, I have made provision for my people, and my people refuse to adhere to my provision. Now, take a look. When you go to your Bible studies or your gathering for a Christian principle being taught, Sunday school, Christian education, many times those are go lacking and people don't come out to them. But this is the provision that God has to feed his people with manna. Now, another thing that God told me, Alan, tell my people, I told them not to forsake themselves assembling together, even more so as you see the day approaching. And so we as children of God, we must as more so gather at the house of God, into the things of God, and be about our Father's business, even more so as we see the day approaching. Yes, many things are coming up against the children of God. Yes, many great tests and trials and tribulations and things have come in and trying their own very faith. But that still do not denote the fact that God wants us to assemble together. Because he said, I will be one. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there in the midst and things. And so he'll be one in the midst and things with us. And so when we come together, Christ is in the midst with us. God is in the midst with us. He will strengthen the body. He will undergird. He will breathe fresh life down into the spiritual nostril of his people. He will undergird and fortify them as never before. But we must come together. We cannot forsake ourselves from coming together because of the subduing spirit that's subduing people away. Oh, my God. Shalom Boshe. Ah, oh, so many people are being subdued away and apostasy. I shared with this at our church. The apostasy is the abandonment or abandoning the things of God, not adhering to the principle of God and abandoning. We as children of God, we cannot abandon the things of God. And yes, we're seeing a great falling away, but God said he was going to pour out his spirit among all flesh and things. Yes, there may be some falling away, but there's some still yet holding on. God will have a remnant. Oh, yes. God will have a remnant for his name and for his glory and for his honor. Our responsibility is to be in that remnant by obeying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in my conclusion, as any builder knows, the foundation is the most important part of the building. If the foundation is properly constructed, the building will not stand no matter how pleasing to the eye it may seem at the time of construction. The master builder conveys this truth when he told the parable of the two builders. The one who stands a poor foundation was destined to destruction, while the one who chose to build upon the rock a good foundation was able to withstand the forces when they came against the building. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Now, Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected. Matthew 21 and verse 42. The Jews in Paul's time could not imagine that they could access righteousness and salvation without elaborate ceremonies. The Galatians were subdued by the same attraction to ritual. Concerning this, Paul cried out, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth? crucified among you. Galatians 3 and 1. Many people today have returned to their priesthood ornately decorative gowns and candles and even incense in an attempt to gain access to God. Others have discarded obedience to the new birth message and holiness in change for a message only, believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, not understanding that they're not mutually excluded. To forsake any of these doctrines in exchange for the message of only believe and confess could be an error of grievous proportion. So in what he's saying that if we only believe that we can just believe and confess, that is not the end of all. That is the beginning thereof, of believing in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and then moving on and confessing him as your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then moving on to obedience of obeying and the plan that he has set out for us as children of God. Even in Matthew chapter number 28, verses 18 and 19, he said, the baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, and commanding everyone to observe all of these things that I have commanded unto you and that you teach. And these things were being baptized and his teaching and the commandments that was given to them were to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins. Then being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. He said for them to observe all of these things, living holy and righteous, and not out clubbing on Saturday night and then running and trying to get up in the choir singing the songs of Zion, but living, be holy, even as I am holy, said the Lord. Come out from among them, not touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. That's what the word of the Lord is saying unto the church and to the people of God. We must live holy. Now, faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary is the foundation upon which the church and all its doctrines are built. God has gloriously provided this wonderful plan of redemption that is still available to all people today. And we must recognize, and I can hear a whole lot of moving around, but we can recognize that, children of God, that we as the people of God, we must as never before recognize and know that the foundation of faith, we must put our faith in the blessed work of the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then obey the word of the Lord when he says, what must I do to be saved? Be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you begin to look at the scripture and clearly read the word of the Lord, you will not see anywhere where any of the disciples or any of the people was ever baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. But when you begin to look in the book of Acts, Acts is the history of the church of the New Testament and the New Testament history. And when you begin to look into that, you'll begin to see how God unfolded and filled them with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and they got baptized all throughout the book of Acts, which is the birthing of the church in Antioch. You will see all of the precious saints that gotten saved. Even John's disciples, when they came across Paul and things, and Peter, they begin to say, you know, what household, what have you were baptized up under? And they said up under John's baptism. And they went on and gotten baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. Look in Acts chapter 19. Look in Acts chapter 10. Look in Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 2 and begin to look at that and let God open up the eyes of your understanding so that you can understand by reading the word of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, and the children of God. God used to wink at ignorance, but he's calling all men unto repentance. We all must repent, and repentance is a gift that God has given unto the church. Oh, child of old, thank God for repentance. that we can repent, we can turn from our wicked ways. We can recognize God. He'll show us things. Then God expects us to turn, obey, and turn away from that. And so God said, I wink at ignorance, but I've called in all men to repentance. And so it's key for us to recognize that. Now let's go back in my close here and just take a real briefly look at. We talked about the pursuit of righteousness and how it is attained by faith and not attained by the works of the law. We talked about faith in Jesus Christ being the stumbling stone for some and a stepping stone into eternal life for others. We talked about the ways of salvation, Christ, the end of the law, and then faith in Christ, and faith as the common denominator. We also talked about the word of Christ and faith, and how it is essential to have the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Then we talk about the essential of having a preacher, one that preached the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, as well as the essential and the importance of us as children of God, people of God, obeying the word of the Lord. And as we obey God and as we follow him as never before, recognize Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected. Are you going to reject him too? And so we as children of God, we must think about that and begin to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will tremendously bless your life, undergird you and fortify you, and you can have this life and that more abundantly. He will bless you abundantly. Now, I pray that this foundation of faith was a help unto you to give you a greater understanding as to what God is talking about as a fundamental of our faith and not so much work. And yes, we do work in Zion, but we must first of all have our faith in the blessed death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, Radio Land, it has been a tremendous blessing to be with you on today. My soul has really tremendously been blessed by the word of the Lord on today. And I pray that this has opened and enlightened your eyes and given you a greater understanding. And I invite you to consider that which God has for us as people of God by going back unto God and speaking directly unto him as he opened up your understanding. Take a moment. Read the entire book of Acts, which is the history of the New Testament church and the New Testament and the new covenant that God has made, even with his own blood. Oh, my God. Father, we thank you, oh, God, for this opportunity to come into the abode of your people today. We pray, oh, God, that you will strengthen them and fortify them and undergird and keep them in and through and by your power divine, Lord. We recognize you are the righteous Savior and the Holy One of Israel. We ask that you meet every need and let not a need go unlacked, because you are our burden bearer, our heart fixer, a God that can do all things but fail. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and give you the glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Truly, it's been a blessing to have been with you on today, and I pray that you have been greatly, greatly blessed by the word of the Lord. And in my conclusion, I just want to say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle, and all you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. So if you're thrown in that towel, go back and get it and start seeking God all over again. I told someone, get up so you can go back down, get up out of that situation and go back down on your knees and cry out to God and watch God hear and answer you and meet that need. He that will come shall come, and he will not Terry. Oh, child of God, I pray God's earnest blessing and his richest blessing in your life on today. So be blessed, and may the Lord God keep you until we meet again. This is our prayer, that you will be blessed and yet blessed in spite of what you're going through. God is able. Give him the praise and praise your way out of the situation and watch God do it in a mighty and a special way. God bless you. Until we see you. Bye-bye.